So we've moved into the book of James, I think, for the last 3 weeks. This is week number 4. Who remembers what chapter of the book of James? 9. Somebody said chapter. There are not 9 chapters in James. I hate to, you know, call somebody out, but that's wrong. 27. We're in chapter 1. Remember, we do kind of the leisurely going through different books. We're in chapter 1. And then the teacher's most painful question, that would have been Paul Taylor. He was here last week. Slow it down. Who remembers anything that Paul had to say last week? And if so, what? Or who was here last week or think they might have been? 2 hands went up for people who were here last week. What did Paul talk about last week? Ted's got notes. Everybody should be like Ted, have some notes up there. And even Ted doesn't know what Paul... No. Okay, well, in that case, I'm glad Paul's not here because, you know, you spend a bunch of time preparing and then a week later, everybody goes, I don't know what he talked about. Yeah. That was the week before. Or maybe even 2 weeks before. Yeah, Vince? Enduring temptation. Okay, that's all kind of scattered. Let me slow it down here. The book of James, it says it's written to the 12 tribes that were scattered. And you go, ah, what? Apparently the persecution had broken out in Jerusalem as best as folks can figure in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 8, people get scattered. They're being persecuted. They're going through hard times. Anybody here going through hard times? Okay. Now, when people are going through hard times, what do you usually say to them? Sorry. I'm sorry you're going through such a hard time. Sure. Okay. James does not say that. You guys are being persecuted. Oh, I'm sorry for you. He says, count it all joy. Oh, my word. When you're going through hard times. Because the hard times have a purpose. Your faith is being tested. Hopefully you're developing endurance or perseverance in order that you might become more mature, that you might grow up. Okay? The idea is God allows these pressures to come into our lives in order to help us to grow up. How many of you, I think we were talking a few weeks ago, Peter Pan, how many? Remember Peter Pan? Never wants to grow up, just wants to go to Neverland and with Tinkerbell or whatever. I spent a lot of years in Neverland with Tinkerbell. But the idea is somehow it's time for us to grow up. If you're into drugs and alcohol, I think most of you are or have been, the idea is your emotional development gets arrested or stunted at about the time you get heavily into drugs and alcohol. For most of us, that's probably teen years, early 20s. And so we're sitting here at age almost 67, and it's like behaving like 12, 13, 14-year-olds. A lot of drama. There's always a lot of drama. I taught middle school for 16 years, or sixth graders for 16 years. And there's always a lot of drama. So recovery ministry always has a lot of drama. Everybody feels things and they act impulsively on their feelings. It's kind of like middle school. And God says, it's time for you to start growing up. It's time to start growing up and becoming mature. I've allowed the pressures to come into your life as a way of helping you as you go through them to grow up. Now last week, kind of summarizing a little bit, when you're going through trials, you have kind of 2 options. Either you can start following your own desires. That's what Paul Taylor talked about last week. 2 roads. You can go down 2 roads. The pressure's on. God, why did you let this happen to me? I'm going to go look for relief in drugs and alcohol and pornography and eating disorders and gambling disorders and shopping disorders. I can go try to deal with the pressures of life by following my own desires. And where's that going to get you? How's that working for you? Dr. Phil question. Right? How's that working for you? I'm under pressure, and I've chosen, rather than following God, to pursue my own ungodly desires. Remember it said it gives birth to sin, and sin eventually leads to death. So the problem for most of us is we're under pressure. We're in the middle of pain. We want relief from the pain. God hasn't showed up yet. Well, forget you, God. I'm going to go take matters into my own hands, stick a needle in my arm, substances, snort something up my nose, whatever it is, and that's the wrong way to go. So the problem is when you're under pressure, you can be tempted to head down the wrong road to find relief from the pressures that you're under. Okay? Anybody ever done that, by the way? And the rest of you are struggling with lying. However, you can go down the right road, which is to turn to God. Either somebody said suffering is either going to make you bitter or better. Suffering is either going to make you bitter or better. If you turn away from God in the midst of the pressures, you begin cursing God. Why did you let this happen? I thought you loved me. Why does this happen? You're going to end up bitter. But if you turn to God in the midst of whatever you're doing, he's going to make you better in terms of transforming you to become more and more like Jesus. So, the last, what are we doing? Oh, yeah. The last part of what Paul talked about last week, and I'll show you the verse because it connects with what we're saying today, is turning to the word of truth. If you're turning to God, you're turning to the word of truth, life will start to happen. Okay? We're going to build on that a little bit. But today there's a couple of problems. Let's say you're pursuing God. I'm turning to God in the midst of my trials. And the first problem we're going to look at is I don't want to hear. I'm refuse to hear what God has to say. And the second problem is you refuse to do. You refuse to act on it. So we're going to be talking today about refusing to hear what God has to say. And then we're going to be talking about refusing to do what he tells you to do. Okay, so you kind of look, I know, if this is a photo of anybody in here, please forgive me. I just got it off the internet. I don't want to hear what God is saying and don't want to do about it. I was reading a sermon this week by John MacArthur, and he said when he was a young man, there was a Scottish guest preacher, and the guy gave a great sermon, and afterwards, John went up there and said, well, you know, that was a really great sermon. The guy just looked at him and said, so what are you going to do about it? So that's what we're going to be looking at today. I think the John MacArthur thing, he said, you know, anybody audited classes at a university? Right? If you audit, that means you just want to come and listen to the lecture, but you don't want to do the reading, you don't want to take the test, you don't want to write the papers. You want to audit the class. And a lot of people, John MacArthur was saying, want to audit church. They want to come for the sermon. Oh, that was interesting. But they don't want to, in some sense, do the work, which is, Lord, somehow I want to let myself be transformed by what was said there. I want to do things, not just suddenly come in, enjoy the morning, and then take off essentially unchanged, okay? All right. Here's the verse from last week that's going to actually connect to what we're talking about today. Of his own will, that's God, he brought us forth. It's really give birth to us. It's the old word begat. Of his own will, he gave birth to us by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Right? So he's contrasting, you can follow your own desires or you can turn to the word of truth. What does that mean, anybody, by the way? He gave birth to us through the word of truth. We look, word of truth. I mean, what? There's the Holy Spirit, but word, truth, Elsie, who's welcome, Elsie from, Elsie's in town, glad you're here. Yeah, no applause for Elsie, okay, retract the applause, go ahead. Well, I'm the word, the truth, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So in some sense, it's a reference to when you came to believe in Jesus, you are born again. Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, unless you come alive spiritually, you'll never see the kingdom of God. And so he says to them, you've accepted Jesus, you've accepted the word of truth, and now the question is going to be, how do you continue to grow in that? The word of truth also, by the way, refers to Scripture. It says in John 17, thy word is truth. It also says in 2 Timothy, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, or understanding the word of truth. The question is, are you going to let the word of truth speak into your life? You've been born again. Now you need to continue in your walk with Jesus. It isn't just come forward at an altar call. That's great when you do that, but that's the first step of a whole new life. Christianity is a way of living. It is a way of life characterized by the presence of the Holy Spirit, God of love, who's come to dwell within us. And the question is, are you going to continue down that road after you've been born again? So, here are the two problems. That was a long introduction. Problem number one, you refuse to hear. You refuse to listen. Yes, I've been born again. The context here is really Scripture. When you come to the word of truth, when you're going through trials, you should come to God's word longing to hear truth, longing really to hear the living word speaking through the written word. We're not just studying a book, we're seeking to encounter God and to hear from God when we're here this morning. That's why you read the Bible. It's not some academic, it's not like reading Shakespeare or Huckleberry Finn. I want to hear the God of all eternity speaking through his word and in my life. Chuck Smith from Calvary Chapel used to say, the Spirit of God working through the word of God in the lives of the people of God. The Spirit of God working through the word of God in the lives of the people of God. So he's really talking about the word of truth. He's continuing to talk about the Bible, about the scriptures, and our desire to encounter Jesus Christ in the midst of it all. He says, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, just about all the time when people will quote this, how many of you heard this, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, slow to wrath, as opposed to slow to hear, quick to speak, quick to anger, which is, I think, where most of us are. Most of the time, people talk about it in regards to our conversations during, you know, everyday life, and that's true, too. I think it's very wise to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. But he is really, the context is still the word of God. That's still what he's talking about, even though I think it does apply to our conversations with one another. When you go and you're in trouble, are you quick or eager, or the word literally means swift, to go to the word of truth? Not always. And if you go to the word of truth, somebody said, you know, the truth will set you free, but first it ticks you off. In some ways, God's word is like a light exposing those things that are in the darkness. I come to his word, you know, it always says in Psalm 139, you know, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my anxious thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You're asking God, how many of you, A-A-N-A, whatever, step four, what's step four? Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Or in this case, God, you search me. I come to God's word. It's like a searchlight exposing things in my life. Some of which are good, some of which pretty darn ugly. The idea is sometimes when you come to God's word, I want to be quick, but it can upset me or tick me off too. Be eager to come. Yeah, Julie?
Yeah, I just dropped my fist up with my sponsor. I'm just kind of dreaming.
Yep.
You know, because I saw it all. I'm like, little God, big God, 6 and 7 is coming up.
Yeah, and we'll get to 6 and 7 when we get to the putting away all filthiness part in just a second here. But by the way, for those who are into AA and NA, the book of James was one of the key books for the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous. So a lot of this stuff that you'll encounter in AA has its roots in Scripture. That's why it works. Why does AA work? Because it's basically grounded in Scripture. Okay? But But the idea is you come to God's word, I want to hear it, but then objections can come up. That's what's slow to speak. I don't believe this, and I don't care about this, and I know that it doesn't sound right to me. Just hold it. This all sounds crazy to me. Take it in. Be quick to hear what God's word has to say when you're encountering the word of truth. Lord, you are the truth, as Elsie was talking about earlier. You're the truth. Reveal to me the truth. How many of you are at the VA? You're in cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT? A couple of hands are just going up a little bit. The idea is cognitive distortions. You're looking at life, I'm looking at life through warped lenses. Big things look small, small things look big. I live in a world of funhouse mirrors. You know, and then I make decisions based on those distorted perceptions. The idea is, it says in Romans 12, be transformed through the renewing of your mind. Get the distortions, Lord. Bring truth in here so that I'm seeing things the way you see them, thinking about them the way you think about them, reacting the way you do. That's what we're longing for. And if you object too quickly, well, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, that's your distorted thinking. This is clear thinking. And if you don't, if you're objecting and you're stubborn, you're even getting angry, that word actually means wrath. It means like a deep-seated anger. You're just angry towards God. I don't want to buy what the Bible says. I don't care what it says. He says that doesn't work the righteousness of God. This anger that you can get into does not work the righteousness of God. Bruce?
I was reading a commentary the other night on this, and it's saying that if you're quick to hear and slow to speak, it helps to slow your anger.
Yes, absolutely. You know, Ed, because, yeah. My wife used to say that the only reason I took my foot out of my mouth was to put the other one in. And I've gotten at least a little better. I've got a long way to go with shooting from the lip kind of thing or shooting from the hip. But Lord, help. What's the AA thing? Take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth. You know, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth. You know, hear more, talk less. Maybe you'll actually learn something. Oh, no. So if you're quick to hear and slow to speak, I do think you will be less inclined to really get yourself all agitated, worked up, and angry and all that stuff. Okay? It doesn't work the righteousness of God. The idea is, the next part, therefore. What do you mean, therefore? If the light has been turned, one sec, Larry. If the light has been turned, the light of truth has been turned on the stuff in my life. The anger, the bitterness, the resentment, the lust, whatever else is going on. And I see God expose that. And I'm not letting myself get ticked off and angry. It should lead for me to want to put away all moral filthiness. All those things that have been exposed. And that's, Julie was talking. Sixth step, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. That's six. And what's seven? Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. So if you've gone through a step four and you've had these things exposed, God has searched your heart, revealed some moral filth, it should lead, get rid of this stuff, Lord. Humbly asked him to take away, to remove our defects of character. Let me say, I had Larry. Larry had a hand up. I'll get you next, Vicky. Yeah. Yell loud because my hearing's not that great. Yes.
So it's like I'm trying to deal with my reactions to people on my own. And then when I pick up the Bible, I'm coming to God himself.
Yes.
To try to seek an alternative for the chaos that I end up with on my own. So that's how I see it. It's like coming to God himself, through the Bible.
Yes. Yeah, break on through to the other side. How many of you are 60s people? I think that's absolutely right. Again, going back to what I was saying earlier, I want to encounter God and not just encounter him through his word, but I want to ultimately be transformed. It's not just informational, it's transformational. We should be reading the Bible partly for information, but ultimately, if we're not transformed by that information, I don't believe it's accomplished everything God wants it to. Okay, yeah, Vicki, you had a hand up?
Yeah, I was just going to say that you probably encounter this maybe on a daily basis where people are in recovery, but they're dry drunks or dry.
Yeah.
You know, and their behavior's the same as when they were drunk.
Yeah, yeah. A dry drunk is a person who has stopped drinking, but they have not changed. And so you're white-knuckling it through there. Okay, but he says, rather, put away all this moral filth and ask God to do it. You can't not do it in your own strength. God, we asked him to remove our shortcomings. And receive with meekness, that's the humbly asked him, the implanted word, that's the word of truth. We're going back, God, I want to receive your word. How many of you know the parable of the sower in Matthew 13? You know, sower meaning like sowing seeds. And Jesus says there's different kinds of ground or different kinds of receptivity or lack of receptivity. Some people's hearts are like stone, the pathway. Some people's heart is like rocky ground. Some people's hearts are like weed infested ground, and some is good soil. We want to be good soil so that the word is implanted in us and we're not resistant to it or kind of rocky. It springs up quickly and then persecution breaks out and we turn away. Or weeds. I think a lot of people I meet in recovery, it's weeds. The deceitful, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choking the word and making it unfruitful. A lot of people get choked out. They start receiving the word and then it gets choked out. Lord, help me meekly. Somebody said the definition of meekness, one of the guys, Greek scholars, Kenneth Wiest, it has to do with your an attitude of spirit that looks at God's dealings with us as good. I'm accepting that God is dealing, God is a good God. He's not doing this to make my life miserable. Whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. He wants to set me free. He wants to liberate me from stuff. The meekness has to do with, I recognize that his intentions towards me are good. I'm going to receive it with that in mind. Okay, well, we could go on for a long time on that slide. Oh, next step. Maybe you've been refusing to hear what God says. I'm not going to listen. Or maybe you've heard it, and then you figure that's all you need to do. I don't need to do any, I don't need to put this into practice. I just need to hear it. Oh, yes, I see I'm not supposed to be angry. I see I'm not supposed to be dealing with pornography. Okay, I heard it, but then you don't. Was a hand up, Bev?
Well, I was just thinking about a lot of people that enter like AA or NA think they only have to go through the steps just the one time, and then they are cured, and that's it.
Yep.
And it's an ongoing process.
Yeah, yeah, and I say it's an ongoing deal. It's, you know, what's, you guys with the, more into the kind of the AA world than I have been, what's kind of the on, is it step 10? 10, 11. So it's just kind of, it's a moment by moment by moment, it's about a way of living, okay? So here's the next problem. You've listened, but now you're not going to do anything about it. But he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The word deceiving yourselves, it's actually a word that means, it's a math word. A math word. It means miscalculate. If you're hearing the word and not doing it, it's like you're going, 1 + 1 = 3. If you're hearing the word and not doing it, you think you're okay, you're miscalculating. You've misadded up what's going on. You come up with the wrong answer. Our thoughts on self-deception, because that's big for all of us, but I think particularly in recovery, we think we're okay when we're really not. I'm okay. And I want to, people, they come up to me, I'm okay, Andy, and I want to say, no, you are not okay. Yeah, Ted?
Well, like what Paul was talking about last week with when we do something wrong or sin, we tend to blame other people.
Yeah.
And then from blaming other people, we kind of, we justify it, and then you're deceiving yourself, of course, but someday you're going to have to get to the word of truth.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, we're talking about this mirror part. I mean, I go up to the mirror, and I squint my eyes, and I say to my wife, I haven't changed a bit. And she's looking at me like, you are delusional. I said, you are looking at a man in his best years. And she just walks off. Yeah, Vicki?
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's a saying, faith without works is like a screen door on a submarine.
Faith without works is like a screen door on a submarine. I like that.
Okay.
Well, picture this image. Okay, you're a hearer, but you're not a doer. He says you've gone to the Word. It's been like a mirror showing you. You are a precious child of God. You are a son or daughter of the great King. A new creation in Christ. You've seen who you really are. And then you turn around and you go back to your drugs, your alcohol, your pornography, or whatever. And he says, like, you've forgotten who you are. That's not who you are anymore. The old Andy, the old Howard, the old, even the old Bruce, died on the cross with Jesus. That person is dead. You have been born again. You are a new creation in Christ. The problem is you're still in an old body with a lifetime of habits and thoughts and weird ways of relating to people. And that's what we're asking God to work on. Lord, help my actual experience to be more in keeping with the person I already am. I'm not that person anymore who goes out and does that stuff. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Put that stuff away. And if we come to the Bible, oh yes, that's who I really am, and then we go off and start sinning again, he says, you're confused about who you are. You need to start living out your life and behaving like that precious son and daughter of the great King. That's who you are. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, start acting like it, start doing stuff. Yeah, Theodore? Yeah.
How do we do that?
Yeah. And I would say several things. Number one, you need to be part, it says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. My thinking is messed up. My stinking thinking, my distorted thinking. I need to stop relying on my thinking. I need to be in the Word. I need to be around other people who can see stuff in my life. Addicts and alcoholics are masters of isolation. I'm just going to go off in my room with my distorted, twisted thinking, and I'm not going to allow anybody else to speak into my life, either God through His Word or through other people. And then I get off track again because I start believing my own stuff. So I've got to have something from outside this system. Somebody said you can't fix your broken thinking using your broken thinking.
How often should I do that?
Well, I'm trying to be in contact. I'm trying to be in contact. With the Lord every moment of the day. I mean, that's my goal. It isn't.
Other people, like a multitude.
Yeah, I don't think there's one of these set rules where it says three times a day or whatever.
The more the better.
I say the more the better, because the more I get off by myself, there may be times when I really need to call people all the time, but I really am trying to stay in touch with the Lord 24/7. That's the goal. I don't succeed in that, but that's the goal. So I don't want to get off in my own mind any more of the time than I can help. Yeah, Kathy?
I'm very aware of how I have to be aware of what is impressing me. What am I allowing to impress my life?
Yeah.
What outside influences am I believing, am I looking at that is impressing my thinking? So that if I'm not taking in the Word of God and feeding on it and walking with Him, as you were talking about, then I'm open to all kinds of influences.
Yeah. Yeah, and this, I don't want to sound legalistic or something, but this is from Billy Graham. Billy Graham said, if I don't read the Bible one day, I know it. If I don't read it 2 days, my wife knows it. If I don't read it 3 days, everybody knows it. So there's just some, I don't think you can just say every 20 minutes or every day, but there has to be some sort of a regular part. Am I in the Word regularly? Am I in prayer regularly? Am I in fellowship regularly? And am I in service regularly? Service means you're thinking about somebody besides yourself. And when people come into my office, I relapse. I say, well, have you been reading your Bible regularly? No, not so much. Have you been praying? No, not so much. Have you been in touch with other people, like a sponsor or other? No, not so much. Have you been in service regularly? No, just been thinking about myself and my needs and what I need. And I say, pray that God would help you get back in the Word, back in prayer, back in fellowship, and back in service. And your chances of relapsing go way, 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 way down on that. Yeah, Kelly?
Going back to the quick to Peter, that's getting the Word of God to me in my life. And then as I'm slow to speak, that's me thinking about the Word in the Bible or what I'm reading or what I'm being taught or hear from other people. And then slowing to anger, it goes into telling me that I don't have to act on, or more like, I have to act on what I read in the Bible and the Word of God, and then the implanted part of God is the Holy Spirit of me interpreting what I read in the Bible or I heard. And so that going on as an ongoing basis through my life, that's a constant revealing of my sin, and I got to turn away from it.
Yeah.
Overwhelming.
Yeah, and again, I can't, it's not something I'm trying to work myself up into. You know, in John 15, he says, you know, I'm the vine, you are the branches. A fruit tree doesn't just sit around stressed out about bearing fruit. Oh, I'm going to have a grapefruit. You know, if you stay connected to the Lord, the fruit will ultimately just kind of come. It's just, the life of Christ comes through you, and then you start having the fruit of the Spirit with the love, the joy, the peace that you've always been. It's mostly about staying connected. Dwelling, or the old word is abiding. Abiding in Christ. I want to stay in that ongoing moment-by-moment relationship. Yeah, Elsie?
It's that verse that says accepting the Word planted in you.
Yes. Yes, the hope of glory. Yes.
And allowing that to be the water and the trunk that flows through me.
Yeah, and it's both. He's working in you, but he wants to work through you. And so, Lord, you're doing this work in me in order that you might make yourself known to a lost, broken, and hurting world. So sometimes we focus on, oh, he's transforming me. Yeah, he's transforming you. That's part of it. But he wants to use you. He wants to make himself known, take a bunch of addicts, alcoholics, whatever the rest of us have been, and make himself known. And that's exciting because then your life starts taking on purpose. The God of Christ in you wants to make himself known. Yeah, go ahead, follow up.
One of the biggest lies that the world and the Satan tells us is God can't use
you. Yeah, you're a loser, you're a failure, you're a reject, you've messed up your life on heroin. He can't use some. He takes fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes. It says in 1 Corinthians, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God specializes in taking losers, failures, and rejects. He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And if you're hearing God could not use somebody like me, that is a lie from the devil. Right. Okay. Yeah, Andre? Yep.
Okay, now once that is.
Yep.
You know, it's a broken world, right, for one thing. And I see we just got basically a bunch of people that are nitpicking. You know what I'm saying? They got to look for something, you know, negative about somebody. Yeah. You know, the nitpick about. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It could be flawless. The one little thing. Oh, see what he did? See what she did? Nitpick.
Yep. No, when I'm doing marriage counseling, that's what I get all the time. I did 900 things right, and the one thing I did wrong, he or she jumped all over me for that. You know, so that tends to be what's wrong with this picture, and some people go through life with what's... It's a fallen world. If you're looking for something wrong, you can always find something wrong. Okay, But we're switching over to doing here. And so you might be sitting there going, well, what does it mean to be a doer? I want to listen. I don't want to refuse to listen. I do want to act. And he's going to give us a few examples here of what does it mean to be a doer of the word. Okay? What does doing look like? He says, if anyone thinks he or she is religious, you're really being a true Christian, and does not, we're going to talk about the mouth and then we're going to talk about action, but does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is great. That's not what it says, does it? Bridling your tongue. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained or unspotted, unpolluted from the world. So we got the tongue part, we got the behavior part. What's this bridle? How many of you are horse people? I mean, I saw a horse once when I was a kid, but I mean, the bridle, you know, put it in the mouth and you can kind of make the, you know, kind of, whoa. When we get to chapter 3 in James, he's going to really get into a big thing about the tongue. But right now, he just mentioned it. He's going to come back later and elaborate. Biting your tongue, how many of you, maybe some people don't have really any filter. The thought occurs to him and immediately, I don't care about the impact or anybody else's feelings. I'm just going to say, well, just hold on and ask if that's going to be a blessing, what you're saying or not. Yeah, Marianne?
The bridling the tongue, it doesn't mean you don't talk.
Yes.
But you allow the speech to be directed by God.
Yeah. A bridle is, like I say, it controls the kind of the horse or whatever. One of the biblical words is stiff-necked. Anybody hear this? It's an agricultural term for an animal that you're trying to make the horse go, and it stiffens its neck, and you can't. And a lot of us are stiff-necked. It's a synonym for a stubborn. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, not even God. So the idea is to somehow be a person whose tongue is really guided by the Lord. Yeah, Vicki?
What do you do if you see a brother drowning?
Yep.
And you just want to throw him through the wall?
See a brother drowning and you want to throw him through the wall. That's a great mixed metaphor. I think I see what you're saying there. Yeah. No, and that's and it's hard when you're watching people either, we call addiction suicide on the installment plan. You're watching people killing themselves and often having a horrible impact on others. It says in the big book that addicts are like a tornado going through other people's lives, creating wreckage. People are going to me, and people did this to me, people did that to me. And I said, do you know how many people are going through therapy right now to recover from what you did to them? Right, so we missed that. Okay, so watch the tongue. The other one, the 19th century preacher, Spurgeon, said, charity and purity. If you really want to live out the life of Christ, charity means helping those who cannot help themselves and from whom you expect to get nothing in return. Helping people who cannot help themselves and from whom you expect to get nothing in return. In that particular society, and still today, orphans and widows. These are people who are helpless. They can't help themselves. They can't do anything. I mean, look at Mother Teresa here. I just want to go love the broken, the weak, the marginalized, the disenfranchised. I want to be a blessing to them. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is love. God's essence, God's nature, God's character, what's more true about God than anything else, agape love, that is selfless love as opposed to selfish love. And one of the ways that selfless agape love manifests itself is by helping those who cannot help themselves. You want to, if you're really a Christian, keep an eye on your tongue or bridle it. Look for people who need help. You know, good Samaritan stuff, somebody beaten up by the road of life. There are a lot of people beaten up either physically or emotionally by the road of life. And then the last thing is keep oneself unstained, unspotted, unpolluted from the world. What does that mean to anybody?
Around yeah. here, don't buy into the materialism.
Materialism would be, there's a world, the world, the flesh, and the devil. There are things that, to Kathy's point, are trying to impact us, draw our attention. They're trying to, in some sense, spot or pollute the holy, pure life that God wants us to lead. Well, I went over quite a bit, but that's, people would figure it wasn't really Andy if I didn't go over. Yeah, Theodore? Yeah, and I think ultimately the idea is, Lord, the desire of my heart is to keep away from stuff that would pollute me. And yet I think implied in all of this ultimately is I can't do it in my own strength and ability. God, you need to do this. I want to keep myself unspotted from the world, but I know that I need your help. God can do for us what we could not do for ourselves. So help me to want to stay away from stuff that's polluting me, but I need your help, Lord. I can't do it, you know. And that is the ultimate key is you can't save yourself, or if you want to get into theological terms, you can't sanctify yourself. I can't save myself, and I can't make myself like Jesus. You have to save me. You have to transform me. Last one, then we'll get to some.
Well,
yeah, Kelly?
In the Bible, I'm not sure where, but it says that I'm a child of God and a spirit of heaven. I'm a body of heaven. So therefore, I don't want to stain myself with earthly pleasures.
Yeah.
I want to focus myself.
Yeah, you are a son or daughter of the great king. The church is supposed to be a colony of heaven. Think of that, colony of heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. My spiritual passport says kingdom of God on the front of it. And we're supposed to be representatives of that kingdom in the midst of a world gone mad. And if you're watching TV, it's getting madder all the time. But help us, the light, to stand in contrast to the darkness. You got me.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Quickly, it just occurred to me. I saw this picture in my mind that Jesus was tempted with all the same kinds of
yep.
things, right? Just like we are.
Yeah, without sin.
Without sin.
All right, let me pray. Lord, I do thank you for this time, and I do pray, Lord, that we would hear what you're saying through your word, that we would not have our ears clogged up or something. But not only would we hear it, Lord, but we would be praying that we would be doers of the word, that we would be genuinely your followers. You said in Matthew, Lord, that whoever hears these words and puts them into practice is like a wise man or woman who built their house on the rock. So help us to be wise men and women who hear what you're saying and also put those truths into practice. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.